Hey there, I'm Isaac, and my crush called me ugly just because I was too short for her. Now she very much regrets her decision. My brothers are all giants, and they all got it from our parents. My mom's 6'2", and my dad's 7 feet tall. I'm the middle child, and somehow my four brothers are all way taller than me. Even Evan, our youngest. They're all close to 7 feet tall, and I'm a measly 5'2". It wasn't much of a big deal when we were kids. I figured I'd hit puberty and get a growth spurt like how Dad always assured me. But puberty came and went, and the growth spurt never happened. It was more like a growth sputter. Every birthday, I would excitedly get up and measure my height against my door frame, marking where I was currently at. But sadly, unlike everybody else's, my markings on the wall didn't show much of a difference. In high school, my brothers were no longer my friends. In fact, they were my main tormentors. They'd stop sitting with me at lunch, and whenever anyone asked if I was their brother, they'd deny it. Who? That puny hobbit? Heck no! You see how tiny that thing is? How could we ever be related to that? My brothers made a point of distancing themselves from me, even going so far as to pick on me whenever they'd bump into me in the halls or the cafeteria. That's why I always ate my lunch behind the gym, or on one of the fire escape stairs. I had some friends, but I wasn't popular by any means. It didn't help that my brothers and their friends would routinely tie my shoes to table legs or flick whatever food I was holding so it hit my face. Worst of all, even Mom hated me. She even fueled my brothers when they would tease me that I was adopted. I mean, they could be right, you look different, and you're the smallest one of them. Sometimes, I actually wonder if you got switched at birth and we ended up with someone else's little runt. Only my dad was my ally. He'd force my brothers to let me in on their basketball games. He'd call us his little basketball team, and that I was his MVP. And he wasn't lying. Even though I was small, I could always score a three-pointer on any of them, and I could dodge and weave around them with ease. I was fast, too, and slippery as an eel. So they could never beat me, even if I was tiny. Other than that, I was invisible to everyone else. Especially my crush. Her name was Holly, and she was so pretty, I just had to ask her out. Unfortunately, she took the ice cream cone I bought her and stuck it onto my head. Gross! You're so ugly! You're literally an entire 6 inches shorter than me! Don't ever talk to me again! People tended to literally bump into me or accidentally elbow me on the face because nobody ever saw me around them. Once, during a school trip, my entire class and the two teachers who were with us completely forgot about me at a war memorial we were visiting abroad. I was so fascinated by the museum there that I didn't notice the time. They never made any announcement, and none of my classmates told me they were leaving either. I tried to ask for help from the locals to see if any of them could help me get back to our hotel, but none of them spoke English, and some of them just didn't want to bother with a strange kid. I had to wait at a creepy park by myself for 4 long hours before they even noticed I was missing. When they got back, the park had closed and the guard left me by the side of the road. My teachers rushed to me, but they were more pissed than concerned for my safety.
Do you have any idea what kind of trouble we could get into for this?
If anything happened to you, we'd get fired! From that day on, people called me Lost Boy. They didn't even bother with my name anymore. Hey, did you hear Lost Boy got left at the school trip?
Yeah, the bus driver was so pissed he had to drive back an entire 4 hours just to get him back.
I heard he made friends with the ghost in the museum. I became even more invisible than before. People talked about me, but they talked about me as if I wasn't right there with them. Until one day, I met Penny. Penny was a quiet girl who never said much to anyone. And she didn't have many friends, like me. In fact, I had never met any of them. She only told me about them in her stories. At some point, I wondered if they really existed. Rumors around the school said that Lost Boy had met a ghost friend, and I knew they were talking about Penny. I'd never even seen Penny's parents pick her up. She was always the last to go home from school. So you could forgive me for thinking maybe she really was a ghost. Or a figment of my imagination? Lost Boy and Ghost Girl, huh? What a perfect pair. Before the holidays this year, I came into a very, real realization that Penny was indeed not a ghost. It was just before Thanksgiving, and lots of people from our street decided to party early. A particularly rowdy group of teenagers were wrecking havoc in the cul-de-sac with their firecrackers and noisemakers. Several cops were called out to deal with the juveniles, but the police could never find them. All night they made noise and set off fireworks. At that point, I snuck out of the house to meet up with Penny. We'd agreed to meet that night so we could have our own little Thanksgiving dinner together. She didn't have anyone to celebrate with. Her parents were abroad, as per usual. And so, with a bunch of dishes and lunchbox full of turkey, I made my way to Penny's house. It was massive and grand. It almost looked like a smaller version of the White House, but very creepy. Like the houses you see in a horror movie creepy. Like the kind of house a powerful, insanely rich vampire would live in. Happy birthday! Penny opened the door with a smile, and when she saw that I'd brought her a present and remembered her birthday, she blushed, and then she shyly hugged me.
You didn't have to. Thank you. Come in, Isaac.
We were enjoying the turkey my dad made when we heard noises coming from outside. It was those kids the cops had been looking for all night. I could barely make out what they were yelling. But it seemed they thought Penny's house was abandoned.
Hey, look! There's a light in there!
Oh, it's a ghost! I bet you $10 there's a ghost in there. Why don't you go check it, Rhett?
You go check!
I bet you 20 it's just some hobo!
So why don't you go check, Jake?
Nah, I have a better idea. The click of a lighter echoed in the still night, and Penny and I heard the whistling of a firework before we realized it was coming straight for us! The firework burst through the dining room windows and sparks flew everywhere. Then, with an anticlimactic soft thud, the thing landed on the hardwood kitchen floor. It just lay there. Silent. So Penny and I straightened up from instinctively ducking under the table. But the moment we did, the firework exploded.
It was a crazy kaleidoscope of colors. It was so close that it blinded us for a second. Enough time for us to not see the sparks that had caught onto the heavy curtains. Small fires broke out everywhere, and we just stood there, frozen, in total shock of what was happening. I rushed to find a fire extinguisher, but it was behind the fridge, and the whole wall had already caught fire by then. The wallpaper all but assured that the walls basically acted as a tinderbox. Penny was so scared. And so, at that moment, my priority was her. She tugged at my hand and begged me to save her. So, I did. I grabbed her hand and led her outside. We ran until we got to the front door and bust through it as we struggled not to breathe in the fumes. What greeted us outside made me so mad. I ran to my oldest brother and punched him right on the nose. Yeah, the troublemakers had turned out to just be my brothers and their friends. And they set fire to my best friend's house. I kept hitting my brother until he fell down. And even then, I didn't stop. But then, a small, terrified voice took me out of my vengeful trance.
Mr. Nibbles?
I looked behind me and saw Penny's horrified face. She didn't explain. She didn't wait for anyone to help. She ran back into the burning house.
No! Penny!
I tried to run after her, but my brothers held me back. And it was lucky that they did, because as soon as I took another breath, the whole doorway collapsed. Penny was trapped, and somebody had to help her. My brothers tried to lift the wood, but it was too hot to touch, and none of them could squeeze in. Only one person could. Before anyone else could stop me, I squeezed myself into the crack and made my way in. There was smoke everywhere, but I eventually found Penny in a room. Mr. Nibbles turned out to be this massive tortoise that weighed about as heavy as Penny. I struggled, but I got them both out, and before the fire could spread to where the back door was, Penny kissed me on the cheek for rescuing her, and then the firefighter showed up. There wasn't much the firefighters could save, but when Penny's parents showed up the next morning, they were just happy nothing happened to their daughter. They arrived on a helicopter which landed straight on our backyard. Luckily, our yard was big enough, but I still find it ridiculous that they couldn't have taken a car. It turned out Penny's dad was a senator. That's how I got into the news. "Local boy saves senator's daughter," said the headlines. I became the city hero. The mayor even gave me the keys to the city. Everywhere I went, people called me by my name. I got free ice cream for life from the local shop, and lots of people visited our house and gave my parents gifts. Holly tried to ask me out, but I declined. Now, my brothers are proud of me, and they worship me. They brag about their brother, the hero, all the time, and whenever they play basketball, they'd make sure I joined their team. Even my mom apologized for treating me badly. Penny and I are dating now. It's pretty crazy dating a senator's daughter. But honestly, it's refreshing that people now recognize me as Penny's boyfriend instead of lost boy or local hero. Just remember, it's not your size that determines what you can do. Heroes come in all heights too. And when you're protecting the people you love, I'm sure anyone can be a hero.